Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A wind-driven wildfire exploded in the Pacific Palisades neighborhood of Los Angeles. Megan Garman and her daughter had to run for their lives.
The smoke just got really bad, so I just started packing up all of our stuff and we got in the car to go. And then all the cars were abandoned, so I had nowhere to go. So I just had to get out of my car and start walking. The smoke is so bad. I have no idea where we're going.
Governor Gavin Newsom said many structures have burned. Fire officials not providing an exact number. Oregon unveiled wildfire hazard maps. People living in those areas will face stricter building codes and mandates to reduce vegetation on their properties. It stems from last year's record-breaking wildfire season in Oregon. President-elect Trump said he would not rule out the use of military force to seize control of the Panama Canal and Greenland, declaring U.S. control of both as vital to American national security. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority have announced $2 million in grant funding to improve living conditions for those struggling with housing insecurity. According to a press release, 52 organizations across the state will receive a portion of the funding for projects that improve emergency shelters, transitional housing, and extremely low-income housing. Access to affordable housing has become a major issue in many areas as the unhoused population continues to grow across the state. The application period for the Recovery High School's planning grant is now open. The grant program seeks to support the development of recovery high schools, which are better equipped to meet the needs of students overcoming substance abuse challenges. Applicants could receive as much as $100,000 per grant through the Department of Public Instruction. The program was established in 2023 through Act 72, and more information on the program and the application materials can be found on the Act 72 website. The Webster teenager accused of setting multiple mailboxes on fire in Barron County has officially been charged. According to court documents, the 17-year-old was charged with one count of possession of explosives for unlawful purpose, eight counts of arson of property, and 10 counts of criminal damage to property. The mailbox fires were set on December 26th, and authorities located the suspect vehicle soon after, allegedly finding items that had been stolen from the mailboxes as well. A 15-year-old in the vehicle was also taken into custody. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is seeking applicants to be the next Rusk County Sheriff. According to a press release, current Sheriff Jeffrey Wallace is planning to retire in April with nearly 2 years left on his term. Qualified applicants can find the Register of Deeds, Coroner, and Sheriff application materials on the Apply to Serve section of the governor's official website. Applications must be submitted by 5 p.m. on January 31st. Applicants can also contact the governor's Office of Legal Counsel for more information on the process. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers with a Big Ten conference win at Rutgers, 75-63. John Blackwell leading with 21 points. Head coach Greg Gard after the game.
We know we're always in for a battle when we come here. Life on the road in the Big Ten is very difficult. So when you can get road wins and lead wire to wire like we did, a really good team win and obviously a lot of contributions from across the board.
NBA, the Bucks snapped a two-game losing streak with a 128-104 decision over the Raptors in Toronto. Chris Middleton sitting out with ankle tendonitis. NFL, Matt LaFleur says that Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Bears. Watson will spend the next year recovering.
I know he'll attack it the right way. He'll handle the adversity. It'll just be a bump in the road for him, and I think he'll come back better. That's just how he is built. That's how he's wired. There'll be good. It's just going to be down the road.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Another chilly night tonight under partly cloudy skies with lows around 5 above. Keeping it chilly on Wednesday with partial sunshine, a high near 15. And then a bit milder on Thursday with increasing clouds, highs warming up into the mid-20s. Currently, it's 11 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Craig is listening on the stream. He says, hey, Pete, you're already pretty good at it, but what if you had a Tuesday teaser where you can showcase something cool in the entertainment world? Tuesdays are always a good time to look forward to what's coming. That's a good one. Should we take a memo?
I think that's pretty good.
All right. Craig's got good ideas. Craig's kind of a renaissance show businessman. He also says you could do two of them just because. You see what he did there? That's what I like about Craig.
Two Tuesday. I get it.
Thank you, Craig. We will take that into consideration. Appreciate the thought. Carla, Aunt Carla, checking in. She says, hello, Pete and Conrad. I was fortunate enough to hear Craig T. Nelson sing the national anthem, but when he hit the note of the Brave and the Jets flew over, it was out of Lambeau. His new movie is Green and Gold, playing in theaters January 31st. I got my tickets for it at the AMC Wisconsin Dells. I meant to, it said wide release on that movie. We'll have to look into that. I'm not sure if it's just playing in Wisconsin or everywhere. From the 608, Steady Eddie checking in says, Pete, for me, it's been a terrific, terrible Tuesday. A beautiful January Tuesday in Madison, Wisconsin. Seasonally cold, but there's no snow on the ground and the days are getting longer. And I saw some wonderful cloud formations at sunset. Soon I'll be eating some brats as I listen to Nightlight. Steady Eddie, you could do a lot worse. That sounds like a lovely evening, actually. He says, a terrific, terrible Tuesday. And he says, I think the Bucks, despite their 18-16 record, will make a big buck charge and win the NBA championship this year. Steady Eddie. Let's revisit that. I think most people would say Packers, but Steady Eddie, who knows? Maybe he's got his
finger on the pulse. I respect the fandom.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Tim Dennis is our guest. He is the host of the Darkness Radio podcast, and he is joining us tonight to talk about ghosts and aliens and the paranormal. And I've got a couple questions here I'm excited to ask him. But Tom in Jackson, he's in the 414, says, hi, Pete, please ask your guest about the tiny town of Dundee in Fond du Lac County. That is supposed to be the hotspot of UFO activity in Wisconsin. Tim, what do you think about that?
About Dundee?
Dundee in Fond du Lac County. Have you heard of that?
I have. I've never been through, but I have heard of it. There's a lot of places I've heard of that I want to get to that I haven't. And, you know, as far as it's too bad we're not on the line with him. I'd love to ask if he'd been through it and if he'd ever see anything there and what exactly he's seen. Because here's the deal. Depending on where you're looking, where you are in the night sky and what there is that's going over at the time, it depends on what you're looking for and what you're looking at. Now, You know, I mean, are you looking at a satellite going over? You know, one of the things that really gets me about what we're looking at is now, you know, Elon Musk has launched Starlink satellite systems. And a lot of people have seen these Starlink satellite systems in the sky and went, there's a UFO. And right. a lot of times, and this has even been debunked on Travel Channel, the Starlink satellite systems are not UFOs, but they're being mistaken for UFOs. And I'm not taking the attention off of Dundee here. Right. But I have heard of Dundee. I'd like to get to Dundee to see if I can see something. I've only twice seen something in my life that I think could be mistaken for or could be potentially a UFO. One was in northern Minnesota. The other was out actually in Arizona. But I couldn't explain it, and I tried to cross-reference it with MUFON, and, yeah. and it was unexplainable. So
All right. So before I ask you about Jimmy Carter, Tom actually took your advice and called in. So he is with us on the phone right now, and
oh, good.
You can speak to him directly. Good. Tom, how are you?
Hi. Okay. The reason I know about this is I used to listen to NPR in the morning out of Milwaukee, Joy Cardine, and she used to have a show about every 6 months that dealt with this subject. And there's a guest that was really up on, especially Wisconsin, sightings in Wisconsin, and he was saying that Dundee is supposed to by far have the most. And there's a lake there called Long Lake along Highway 67. And I guess especially in the north end of Long Lake, there's supposed to be like Indian burial grounds, and there's like a water tower up there, and it's really rough terrain. And I've driven through there on my motorcycle, and I had some relatives on Dad's mother's side that had a little cottage along Long Lake. And then my grandmother was actually born in a farm about a half mile west of there, and now that was given to the Catholic Church. But I've never seen it myself, but... there's a an old bar that's now closed, but they had like shirts and sweaters that had like different UFO stuff on it. Really cute. I actually got a couple of them, and I haven't used them yet. But that's what the guest on the NPR talk show said, that Dundee is the spot in Wisconsin. It's supposed to have the most sightings. It's and going back to Indian days too, I guess.
Okay,
that's up near Barron, isn't it?
No, it's in Finley County, which is about an hour and a half north of Milwaukee or so.
Yeah, right on Lake, southern part of Lake Winnebago, Tim. Tom, thank you so much for the call, buddy. Appreciate you contributing to the show. Have
long
a great lake. Night.
Yeah, long
sorry,
lake.
My geography's off a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay.
Now I've worked in Whitehall, Wisconsin, and I worked in mainly western Wisconsin when I was doing radio a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But I've never been that far east, so that's okay. I'll give you this fact about Wisconsin. It is ranking 23rd as far as UFO sightings in the United States. So it does get a lot of data reported to it by the National UFO Reporting Center. So you do get quite a few sightings all over Wisconsin, and Barron actually in 1934 was one of them.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with that one. I'm familiar with Dundee. I'm not familiar with where it's located.
That's okay. Look, we don't expect you to know everything, Tim. That's fine. But thank you for the call, Tom. And that's interesting. I'll add that to the list of, we always, it's fun. We do talk about this stuff periodically on the show, and it's good to have a little catalog going. Tim, you mentioned Jimmy Carter had a UFO sighting in 1969. I vaguely remember hearing something about that, but I have no idea what it was. Can you inform us about that? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not, happened in Georgia at a Lions Club meeting. And this was way before he was ever president. What had happened was he was coming out of that Lions Club meeting with 20 people. So it's not like this was just a singular sighting that couldn't be verified by anybody. He had been scheduled to give a speech there at that Lions Club meeting in Leary, Georgia, when some of the other guests directed his attention to this object that was up there in the sky. So what happens is they're all looking up at it, and they all see it change color a few times before it disappears into the distance. Now, this is what Jimmy Carter was quoted as saying in 1973. He said there were about 20 of us standing outside of a little restaurant, I believe. It was a high school lunchroom, and a kind of a green light appeared in the western sky. This was right after sundown. It got brighter and brighter, and then it eventually disappeared. It didn't have any solid substance to it. It was just a very peculiar looking light. None of us could understand what it was. Now, what President Carter did is he submitted a report to the International UFO Bureau and detailed the sighting. And a few years later, when he was governor of Georgia, he even promised to make and stop me if you've heard this before, make every piece of information the country has about UFO sightings available to the public and scientists when he became president. That sound familiar, Pete?
Yeah. So what happened? You know, I will say that Carter seeing this and or whatever, just saying he saw this mystery light, whatever, and then never having another issue with aliens or UFOs or whatever, kind of lends a lot of credibility to it. You know, it's not like he's a crackpot or anything. He was the president and a very sane guy. And I've seen something I couldn't explain. I saw the lights over Lake Michigan in 1994. It's just, sure, you don't know what's going on.
Well, here's the part of it that makes me wonder, you know, and I talked about this as we were recording for tomorrow's show. I was talking about this with my co-host, Mally Fox. I said, listen, it's not the fact that he's seen something. It's what happens to presidents after they're in office,
yeah,
where they don't want to talk about it. And the only exception seems to be President Trump. He's the one who wants to go back in and actually crack these files open.
Why didn't he do that the first time, though?
Well, here's the thing. I think because he got stopped cold by the military. I really do think they said, whoa, 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 slow your roll. We're not going to do that, sir. We have other things to focus on. Okay. And it seems to be anybody who gets within the machine who wants to open these files, who says, you know, we kind of want to get down to the bottom of this. It's either because, you know, they don't have things together and they really don't have the organization to do it, or they haven't kept accurate records, or, and again, I'm making sense here. I know I'm making too much sense for most people. Or the other fact is that there is something there, and let's just face it, we're not ready to handle stuff. And I'll give you the example of why we're not, Pete, and I'll make it very short. It's simply this. With the drones in New Jersey and on the East Coast, people were saying this simple statement: the government isn't ready to take care of this. I will. And they went out there with shotguns and started shooting at drones. And they didn't know who they belonged to. They shot at drones, Pete.
Well, with shotguns. That's a mental health issue in this country, too. Let's be honest.
And here's the thing. If you shoot at a drone, Pete, it's dangerous to you. First of all, it's dangerous to you. You crack that battery, you're going to die. Second of all, you'll start your house, your forest, everything on fire.
Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
No. It's just that. It's just that people don't think before they act. So if we're going to tell them that there's aliens out there and, hey, we have a pact with them, what are they going to go do to aliens if they're shooting simple drones?
No kidding. And what are they going to hit instead of the drone? That's a little unnerving. So we have to do another very short break. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Tim?
Absolutely.
All right. You have this, you sent another thing about mystery fog, and I've read a little bit about that. So I want to ask you about mystery fog. And then maybe you could share your favorite tall tale or urban legend with us when we come back before we let you go. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Tim Dennis is here. He's the host of the Darkness Radio podcast, very popular podcast. And he's going to be with us for a couple more minutes on the other side of this very short break. So great to have you with us on Taco Tuesday, Conrad?
Tuesday.
According to Craig. Okay, we'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. You pick up little dynamite, I'm gonna pick up little gun. Every woman in our house tonight, make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant, I don't wanna be your son. Oh, my lover, I'm never gonna need. Soft, sweet little girl's talk.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for matinee on air.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver. And at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of Active Liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with Active Liver. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back. There is still time to get in on our question of the night, which is, who will be the next Wisconsin team to win a championship? So far, I would say the Bucks are leading the pack. Or the Packers is probably a tie.
Or the women's
UW hockey?
Badger hockey team.
Hockey team, yeah. We'll have to look into that. Can you Google their record while we're talking to Tim here?
Actually, you know what? I will say, I got a new one.
Yeah.
Marquette is looking really good this year.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I forgot about Marquette. Yeah.
Maybe they can do it.
They're top 10, right?
I believe they are, yeah.
Okay. Love to be top 10. Tim Dennis is with us. He is the host of the Darkness Radio podcast. He's agreed to stick around for a few extra minutes here. Tim, all right, so we talked about Jimmy Carter. You said something about a potential talking point might be mystery fog. There's something so creepy about fog. I hate driving in it. But tell us a little bit about that. Has there been some investigation recently?
Yeah, you know something, Pete, there's a fog that's actually going over multiple states. It's creepy enough, like you said, fog and anything in fog. In fact, fog is so creepy they've made multiple movies about it. Yeah. And what could be in fog, including M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. I know that's not his name.
We just call him M. Night, yeah.
M. Night, exactly. Yeah. He's made a movie about it as well. Well, residents along multiple states have been reporting these strange clouds of fog, like with a chemical-like smell.
Huh.
And I wish I could report it as anything other than just the most icky smell that you've ever smelled in your life, right? But it's been hanging in the air over the last few days. And it's been in, when I say multiple states here, Pete, I'm talking Texas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Florida, and Minnesota. We're not talking just a few states here. We're talking a lot of states, right? And this fog has some unusual properties to it as it's hanging above all these states. Now, the unusual properties are this. It's triggered some respiratory problems and symptoms, and it's accompanied by a burning chemical-like smell that leaves people feeling nauseous.
Hmm.
Now, tell me where you might have heard this before from people who are into conspiracy theories.
The only thing I can think of is like a pesticide or something.
Okay, pesticide is good, but a lot of people who kind of run the streets with a crazy look in their eye will yell chemtrails at you, right?
Oh, right, right.
I mean, that's what I think of when I read the story and look at this story. Now, there's a woman who encountered this fog while filling her car with gas in Florida, who said that within an hour, she kept sneezing over and over and over again for about 3 hours, and her eyes got real puffy. That doesn't sound right, right? Seems like a chemical burn, for all intents and purposes.
For those people listening, Tim, tell and myself included, I know the bare minimum of what is a chemtrail exactly?
A chemtrail supposedly is it's a trail from the back of an airplane. So, you know, when you look and see a vapor trail out of an airplane, that happens. I mean, it's a normal exhaust out of an airplane. A lot of people mistake that for, like, say, an airplane up in the sky that may strafe a chemtrail or a chemical trail that may be seeding us with some sort of chemicals. Okay. So there's a popular theory or conspiracy theory that the government may be trying to seed us or a particular area with some sort of experimental toxin or a chemical to see if we react to it. So they could be conducting any type of experiment on us. Now, there's only, I think, one experiment in history. It was a project known as Operation Sea Spray in 1950, which saw large amounts of bacteria being intentionally sprayed over San Francisco, which was actually proven. Otherwise, there really isn't anything on record saying that the government has done this on a regular basis, okay?
Yeah.
But that one time got people talking.
It's such an easy thing to say, though, too, the government. You know, the government is millions of people, basically. I mean, how does that – I just feel like we'd know more about – and that's not like Roswell. That's just – I feel like that would get out.
Yes. It would. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a good way to kind of find this stuff out. There's a guy by the name of John Greenwald Jr. who runs a site called theblackvault.com. And John has managed to gather 3.4 million documents of Freedom of Information Act documents.
Oh.
And he is a bulldog. If you ever get a little bit of time, everything from UFO documents and alien documents to regular Freedom of Information Act documents about what's going on in your government.
Okay.
And you want to talk about a guest you should get on the program. That's a guy.
Yeah. And theblackvault.com. Okay.
Theblackvault.com. And he's on X as well. And John manages to dig every single Freedom of Information Act document that you can find out there. And he's found documents like this online where there have been plans where they've said, you know what, you know, what would be an idea. Let's test something on the populace, an old CIA document from the 50s or 60s. But it would get shelved. And there's things in there about remote viewing programs from the CIA and things like that that he's dug up.
Do any of these chemicals give you better abs, Tim?
I wish. No, otherwise I'd get rid of this big tire I have in the middle, but no.
Hey, listen, this has been a lot of fun, buddy. Thanks for sticking with us so long, and thanks for filling in short notice for your Uncle Bob, who I don't know if I believe his story, but no, I'm kidding. It was great to meet you, and yeah, thanks a lot. We'll have to do this again. I have a lot more questions for you, but hopefully we can cover those another time.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great night. And check out the Darkness Radio podcast with your host, Tim Dennis, who has some really interesting guests and talks about a lot of really cool topics. So, Conrad, what do you think about that chemtrail thing? I have read about that in the news. That's been like in mainstream papers. That's not like just like conspiracy theory.
Media. I didn't even know about it, to be honest.
See, that is why you're making a mistake. You have got to wake up, pal. No. I mean, I heard when I was a kid that all these planes and, you know, the exhaust that comes out of them is bad. But, you know, what are we going to do? We've been flying airplanes for
quite some time.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah, it's interesting to talk about. Thank you to Tim Dennis. When we come back, after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, we are going to be joined by Mike Kauth. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. We will talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene and where you can see Comedy Sports, because I know they do leave Milwaukee from time to time and travel around the state. So we'll have a fun talk with Mike. That's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Transportation have announced the opening of the first electric vehicle charging stations funded by the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Formula Program. According to a press release, the fast charging stations recently began operations at Quick Trips in Ashland, Menominee, and Chippewa Falls. Funding for the stations came from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Governor Evers has made expanding electric vehicle infrastructure a priority for the state to encourage more drivers to purchase the vehicles. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting an increase in gray wolf depredations on livestock in 2024. According to DNR data, 2024 saw 84 cases of confirmed or probable wolf depredations on livestock, up from 69 in 2023 and 49 in 2022. DNR officials also reported an increase in the number of wolf harassment complaints from residents. Managing the gray wolf population in the state has become a controversial topic, with lawmakers at odds over whether there should be a set wolf population goal or not. The city of Duluth and the union that represents nearly 500 city employees have come to a tentative bargaining agreement to avoid a strike. According to union officials, the new collective bargaining agreement provides city workers with competitive wage increases, improved working conditions, and a commitment from the city to retain and recruit more workers. The union voted nearly unanimously to authorize a strike in December. City officials said the new deal will aid in hiring and retaining workers while maintaining a focus on core services. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will hold a virtual public hearing on potential changes to deer management units in the state's Northern Forest Zone on Wednesday. DNR officials are considering a return to habitat-based deer management units rather than continuing with the county-based system. They say the change could allow more harvest opportunities for antlerless deer in more abundant areas while setting limitations on areas with a smaller deer population. The meeting can be found through the DNR website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Another chilly night tonight under partly cloudy skies with lows around 5 above. Keeping it chilly on Wednesday with partial sunshine, a high near 15. And then a bit milder on Thursday with increasing clouds, highs warming up into the mid-20s. It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. All are invited to take advantage of Ruby's Pantry for a $25 donation. You'll receive an abundance of food. All are welcome the second Saturday of each month. From 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m., the distribution is at SMC Limited, located on Griffin Street right here in Amory. Ruby's Pantry, another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
hour number two song. It's kind of very chill. I like that tune. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, what will be the next Wisconsin team that wins a championship? We've had some great Bucks and Packers for the most part, but you did some digging.
Yeah.
The Badgers women's hockey team?
Yeah, their record is 21-1.
That's pretty good.
That's they lost once. That's crazy.
But have they won a championship recently?
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
But well, looks good this year.
Yeah, it sure does. Bridget from the 818 says, Bucks basketball. Okay. Yeah, they're probably the most recently removed from having a championship ring. And then from the 715, Kate says, Badgers hockey. All right. Maybe she means women's hockey.
Yeah. I don't know. The boys aren't doing that great.
She probably means women's hockey. Clarify, Kate, if you would. But thank you for your text, everybody. All right, we have to get going here because I just realized my friend Mike Kauth is about to join us, and time is ticking, and I want to talk some Milwaukee comedy, and Mike is always fun to do that with. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Pete. Doing real good. How are you?
Good. I don't usually pay attention to this kind of thing, but that beard is looking phenomenal. Yeah, you had it last time, but that's like full blown. That's like perfect.
We're getting there. You know, part of it is the holiday season. There's at Comedy Sports we do a naughty and nice show, and I always play Santa Claus. So
fantastic! That makes sense.
A little short for Santa, but
just paint it white. No one will ever know the difference. Those kids don't know anything.
It's getting there on its own, my friend.
did you have good holidays?
Yeah. Got to see my sister's family. They live right over the border in Illinois.
Okay.
That was really fun. We had two sold-out shows at Comedy Sports for New Year's. So that's always a good place to ring in the new year. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yourself?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. We had a lot of same stuff. We went to see a show here in Green Bay, Frank Hermans, who does a great job just down the street here at the Meyer. And great holidays. No complaints. But what a great, you know, when I was a stand-up, Mike, and I've talked about this recently leading up to the new year, when I would be on a New Year's show doing comedy, I hated it because, you know, I'm either on the road or somewhere where we do the countdown on stage and it's me and a comic sometimes I barely know. And the new year hits and like I give that guy a fist bump and everybody in the crowd is hugging and kissing. And it's like a festive night. But what's it like at Comedy Sports when you guys do that? How do you make it festive and how do you ring in the new year at Comedy Sports?
Yeah, well, we offer two different shows. The first starts at 8 o'clock and has like a fake countdown. So that way families can come out.
Oh, nice.
If they want to go home early, you can get home early. The 10:30 show ends right at midnight. And kind of like you're saying, everyone goes wild, they cheer.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about improv is you're up there with a few different people. And
yeah,
a lot of times those are your friends that you've played with and, you know, performed with. So I'd probably be with them anyway. So it's a nice way to ring in the new year. And we do like a buffet, free champagne. So we go all out.
Oh, man.
New Year's.
That sounds like a lot of fun. With the great thing, too, is like what you just said with families, Comedy Sports, and I forget this from time to time, is totally clean, right? Like it's family friendly for the most part.
That's correct. Yeah. It's all ages. We even have like the bag foul, the out of bounds foul. So if someone says something that's a little too lewd, crude, or off color, they, you know, that goes for audience members, too. They have to put the bag on their head.
Would Comedy Sports have been as successful as it's been? You have decades long now tradition. Would it have been as successful were it not for that rule? Like if you allowed swearing or like they do at Second City, if you could go blue, how would that have affected Comedy Sports, do you think?
That's a great question. I think we probably would still be around. It would still be successful. But it probably would have been limited the range of audiences we could have pulled in.
Right.
This past summer, we just celebrated our 40th year in business, which is
that's
insane.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. And it probably is a lot because of being able to bring in families, and then, you know, generations kind of grow with us over the time too. So if you enjoy comedy sports as a kid, sometimes, you know, once you hit your 20s, 30s, you kind of come back like, maybe I'll check this thing out again.
You're a staple now. That's pretty cool. How did you find comedy sports, Mike? You personally, what was your journey to get there? Now you're a head coach, which is really cool. But how did you get started there?
I got started there. I had seen a show when I was a freshman in high school, I believe, maybe eighth grade, doesn't really matter. But some family friends decided, let's go check out a show. They invited me along and I went. I liked it. And then a couple years later, I was, a senior in high school. And I liked performing. And I had just done a media studies class where I got to make.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball.
High post, Williams, fadeaway, 15th quarter is through. Douglas down to one. Douglas flips it up at the free throw line, and it's good. On a driving shot there by Hallie Douglas.
Wisconsin women's basketball is brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show. Here's the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball, John Arias.
The Wisconsin Badgers are on the road tonight, seeking their first Big Ten win away from Madison. After a loss at Oregon, 10-5, Wisconsin continues on in the Pacific Northwest with a Tuesday night tango with 11-4, Washington, their first meeting with the Huskies in over 11 years. From Alaska Airlines Arena, it's Wisconsin versus Washington. It's time for Badger basketball. And coming up on tonight's pregame show, we'll get a scout of the Huskies with assistant coach Fro Gerald. We'll look inside the Badger numbers and the Badger notebook. A quick spin around the Big Ten, one other game going on. We'll get you up to date with number one UCLA in action. But up next, we'll hear from Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
I am so sorry I was late. I was at the retina specialist getting my first AMD treatment. I was worried that the injection would hurt, but it was much better than I expected.
I'm so glad you're getting your AMD treated. Did you go to the same retina specialist that I see for my diabetic retinopathy?
Yes, and I was already having blurred central vision. And the retina specialist told me that by treating it early, I had a better chance of saving and even improving my vision.
It's important that we see an expert for our retinal condition. A retina specialist also treated my son when his retina detached several years ago. The surgery saved his sight. When your vision is at risk from retinal disease, you need the expertise of a retina specialist. Retina specialists are highly trained physicians and surgeons who treat retinal conditions in adults and children, as well as severe eye trauma. If you experience blurred central vision, a curtain-like shadow in your vision, floaters, flashing lights, or wavy lines, see a retina specialist as soon as possible.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why take a chance? Why risk a mistake? Why say something? We all have reasons why we choose to ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right. The word why can either paralyze us or empower us to stand up and protect what we love. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my family.
I see safe for my friends.
I see safe for my students.
We see safe for each other.
I see safe because all of this matters.
We all have something worth protecting. A why that unifies this community we're all a part of. So protect your everyday. Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Wisconsin is getting set to face the Washington Huskies, now joined by the Badgers head coach, Marissa Mosley. Coach, thanks for joining me. What's the message to the team following the last game against Oregon?
The message is that, you know, there was plenty of things that we did really well as far as following our game plan, and there's plenty of things that we need to be able to clean up. And I think that we had a really great practice today, understanding each of our opponents is going to be different. And we got to find ways to take care of the ball and get more possessions, you know, turn the ball over 22 times. So it's 22 times that we didn't get shots at the basket. So we just talked to them about making sure that we're taking care of the ball and that we're also kind of getting more movement. And, you know, obviously we're not going to go very far with Sarah, only scoring 3 points in 30 minutes.
Yeah. You mentioned that in the post game with Sarah Williams on the two shot attempts. Is there a sweet spot you want to see her as far as number of attempts offensively?
I don't know if it's necessarily a sweet spot, but I just know that, you know, her being able and teams know that she's kind of our go-to player. But it can't just be only her. And so, you know, we tinkered a little bit with our offense. They worked the last couple of days or day and a half, just trying to figure out how I can still get her in spots that she can be successful, but also that the rest of the team can be successful as well.
One more question on the rest of the team. You know, Ronnie Porter, I was curious to kind of ask you about how you see her development in her third season. You know, one of the things I think that really stands out is she's distributing the basketball really well. I think she's third in the conference now in assists per game. How do you see the development of Porter?
Yeah, I think that she's, you know, obviously was a natural scorer coming in and understanding, you know, how to kind of allow herself to not only be able to score, but get other people involved. And I really believe that she's embraced that. And I'm, you know, confident that that's going to continue to grow and that will help our team be really successful.
Well, best of luck tonight against Washington. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, that's head coach Marissa Mosley. Keep it right here. We'll get a scout of the Huskies next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, a real friend, the kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a 1,200-mile footpath started in the 1950s and now running through 30 Wisconsin counties. The Ice Age Trails PR director, Melissa Pyrick, says one group of hikers describes it best.
They started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this North Woods, which is very rural and rustic. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful.
The trail continues south to Janesville, then back to the northeast and up to Sturgeon Bay. It is also one of just 11 in the country designated as a national scenic trail. Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
As a professional in your field, have you ever wanted to give back to your community? CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. Career and technical educators are professionals who teach the next generation of students going into these fields. CTEs are important because they help shape the future workforce. CTE not only benefits the student learning the program, but the teacher who teaches it.
CTE has impacted me personally because, one, I'm a product of CTE. I was a student in these classes when I was in high school. But also, as a teacher, I get to build these relationships with students. And it's not just subject matter. It's a potential career. It's a potential passion. And you get to work with students and see them going on to careers in this field. I get to work with students in the most unique setting, a setting that's technical, creative, and hands-on. And I think when you bring teachers and students together like that, you get to see a different side of their potential. There is nothing more exciting than that.
If this seems like something you'd be interested in, go to acteonline.org and search for Teach CTE.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Wisconsin gets set to take on the Washington Huskies, now joined by Badgers assistant coach Fro Jarrow. Let's talk about Washington. Their top two scorers, the same amount of points per game, just about 15 per game. And we'll start with Elle Ladine, who has a 40-point game already on her resume earlier this season. A couple games ago against Northwestern. What can you tell me about her?
Yeah, she's been playing really well. You know, like you mentioned, they have two dynamic guards, and she's definitely one of them. You know, a really good shooter. She can score from all three levels. Really good shooter from three, a good mid-range, and can get to the rim when necessary. So, you know, having that backcourt duo is that's going to be a really good matchup for us.
Yeah, the other one, Savia Sellers, is an up-and-coming sophomore for Washington. She shoots 45% from the three-point arc. What do you see on her?
Yeah, really good young guard. Like you said, shoots it well from three. But she really does a really good job of getting her teammates easy looks as well. So she's a great facilitator. She controls tempo of the game. She does some things that veteran guards do at a very young age. So she's a great match to Ladine in the backcourt.
Let's talk a little bit about their three-point shooting. They're a good three-point shooting team as well. They're second in the Big Ten. What do you see as far as what they can do offensively?
Yeah, that's going to be key, and they get them in a lot of ways. You know, Sellers obviously generates a lot with her ability to touch the paint and, you know, get the defense to collapse and open up shooters. But they get them in transition. You know, their offense, they do a lot of ball screen offenses, so it forces your defense to rotate, you know, more than you would like to at times. So leaving shooters open occasionally, and she does a good job of shooting behind screens. So. Sellers is kind of key, but there are kids around her that can really catch and shoot.
Well, best of luck tonight, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
All right, that's assistant coach Fro Jarrow. We'll be back with the Badger Notebook next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden malt, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back. John Audius with you as Wisconsin gets set to take on the Washington Huskies in Big Ten women's basketball. Badgers come in with a 1-3 Big Ten record. They're 10-5 overall. Washington is 2-1 in conference play and 11-4 so far this season. It's the first time these two teams have met since December 13th of 2013. Overall, Washington leads the series with a 4-1 record. Badgers have lost the last three in a row. And like I said, last time they met, 2013. Now in that game, Wisconsin's Mikayla Johnson finished the night with a game-high 25 points. Taylor Wirtz had 11. Morgan Page reached 1,000 career points, but it was not enough in an 80-67 Huskies win. Meanwhile, the Badgers looking to get Sarah Williams back on track. Williams scored just 2 points in the Badgers' loss last time out. She took three shots from the floor as Wisconsin fell at Oregon. We'll see if she can get back on track. Williams is sixth in the Big Ten at about 18 points per game. And keep an eye on Ronnie Porter. She's number three in the Big Ten in assists per game. The Badgers point guard putting up 5 assists per game. She had 6 in the Badgers loss to the Ducks. Keep it right here. Quick spin around the Big Ten. I'll tell you about number one UCLA in action tonight taking on Purdue. That's next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Basketball fans, Mott's Matt for Brewpub Lots of Matzo Pizza here. As much as our Badgers are a staple to our great state of Wisconsin, Brewpub Pizzas are a staple as the in-game meal of choice. Brewpub Pizzas are loaded with quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over 1/2 pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese, made right here in Wisconsin. Each Brewpub Pizza is a swish of delish. So stop by your local grocer today and snag one and enjoy two of Wisconsin's favorite things, Badger Basketball and Brewpub Pizzas, the ingredients for a great time.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
This season, Abbott and the Big Ten teamed up to host the first ever conference-wide blood donation competition to help fight the greatest blood shortage in a generation. The We Give Blood Drive helps save as many as 60,000 lives thanks to alumni, students, and Badger fans like you. But the need for blood donations doesn't stop here. Go to BigTen.org/Abbott to sign up to give blood and save lives. Abbott, proud partner of the Big Ten Conference and Wisconsin Athletics.
And welcome back. John Audius with you as the pregame show continues. Time for a quick spin around the Big Ten. Just two Big Ten games tonight. Of course, in Seattle, it's Wisconsin at Washington. Earlier tonight, number one UCLA improved to 16-0, and they lead the Big Ten Conference with a perfect 5-0 record after an 83-49 win at Purdue. Boilermakers fall to 0-4 this season. Checking the Big Ten standings, UCLA now 5-0, followed by number 8 Maryland at 4-0. Number 4 USC is also 4-0. Another undefeated team, 9th-ranked Ohio State, is 3-0 in the conference standings. Tonight it's 1-3 Wisconsin versus 2-1 Washington. Huskies are receiving votes in the top 25, and we'll have the starting lineups and the opening tip-off next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, "I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
I am so sorry I was late. I was at the retina specialist getting my first AMD treatment. I was worried that the injection would hurt, but it was much better than I expected.
I'm so glad you're getting your AMD treated. Did you go to the same retina specialist that I see for my diabetic retinopathy?
Yes, and I was already having blurred central vision. And the retina specialist told me that by treating it early, I had a better chance of saving and even improving my vision.
It's important that we see an expert for our retinal condition. A retina specialist also treated my son when his retina detached several years ago. The surgery saved his sight.
When your vision is at risk from retinal disease, you need the expertise of a retina specialist. Retina specialists are highly trained physicians and surgeons who treat retinal conditions in adults and children, as well as severe eye trauma. If you experience blurred central vision, a curtain-like shadow in your vision, floaters, flashing lights, or wavy lines, see a retina specialist as soon as possible.